broadcasting from Cincinnati.
You're listening to the Ringside Reporter Podcast. All the news from the world of boxing right here.
Well, I'm talking to you the way I want to talk to you.
Now, here's your host, Eric Lorda.
Welcome to the Ringside Reporter Podcast, where we talk about the latest boxing news. If it's related to boxing, we'll talk about it here. My name is Eric Lorton. I'm here with my co-host, Ringside Robert, and we have a great show for you today. And as always, you can catch us on the web at www.ringsidereporter.com. Today, we're going to talk about Manny Pacquiao chooses his next opponent, and you're not going to believe who it is. Boxing loses one of its best fighters ever over the break. The president is out of jail, and he's looking for a fight. Our history lesson today goes deep, all the way back to 1988, Mike Tyson versus Larry Holmes. We also continue with our lightweight fantasy tournament, but first, we get started with, Robert, it's a brand new year, it's 2016.
Yep, happy new year, everybody.
Absolutely, happy new year, we're back for our second season. How about that? All right, so with Floyd gone, let's start with a couple of topics here. With Floyd gone, who's the next cash cow in boxing? You know, is there going to be another pay-per-view king, per se? I mean, is there going to be somebody else who takes those reins?
Well, okay. Al Heyman's, one of his stated goals is to eliminate the pay-per-view model because, as you noticed, he hasn't really put any of his fighters, not counting Floyd Mayweather, on pay-per-view. If he were to continue the pay-per-view model, I think it could be the truth, Earl Spence. I think he could be dynamic enough and get an interesting enough fights where he could take things over. But looking on the other side of the scale, the HBO side, Top Rank, Golden Boy, all that, K2, I think the two people that are going to be in charge of pay-per-view for the foreseeable future will be Canelo and Triple G. And that's why their fight later on in 2016 is going to be interesting because we're going to find out whoever wins that fight how much superstardom they'll actually have and whether they'll be able to deliver on the pay-per-view kind of numbers. That's why the Canelo Cotto fight was so interesting because now we've discovered that the pay-per-view model is not totally destroyed. Over 900,000 got that. And, I was afraid that Mayweather-Pacquiao did permanent damage to those of us that actually wanted to order fights in the future. But you've got two different dynamics here. You've got one corporation, the PBC, that don't want anything to do with pay-per-view, and you have all the other people who want to use pay-per-view. So boxing is kind of messed up in that regard, but I like Earl Spence if he's ever given the opportunity to go on pay-per-view on a regular basis. What do you think?
I think so, too. But I think, I think he's a good fighter. I don't ever think he generates the kind of pay-per-view numbers, though, that like a Floyd did or anything like that because of his personality.
Yeah, that's the one thing.
Bad personality is just that he's not very charismatic. He's a likable guy. He's just not very, charismatic, He's not like Sugar Ray or like an Ali or like a Floyd or something.
And nothing against Earl. He's a wonderful technician in the ring, but he can't give a very good interview. He kind of sucks. And, if you're going to be a pay-per-view star, you have to be able to, give good interviews. I mean, Keith Thurman gives good interviews, but he's kind of disappeared, lately. And yeah, you have to put yourself out there. And that's what I love about Triple G. Every time you turn around, he's either on the internet with something. He's making public appearances. He's showing up at Cowboy Stadium, and he's all over the place. So I don't know. It'll be interesting to see in 2016 who takes those reins. But, Floyd may not be permanently gone, and we'll get to that, shortly. But
Well, let's transition into that. I mean, do you think he's going to come back?
Yeah, well, look at the way he spends money since he quit. Look, I'm being realistic here.
Yeah.
His last fight was September 12th. It's now It's now the beginning of 2016. Look at how much money he's spent from the day he fought Andre Berto till now. I mean, every week when we do it, when we do our show, there's always a Floyd Mayweather story about him doing this and him doing that, and it normally involves money.
Well, look at leading into the Pacquiao fight. Okay, leading into the Pacquiao fight, how he hired that chef and he was paying her like $1,000 a day or $1,000 a meal or something crazy.
Yeah.
And he's eating like hot dogs. I mean, this chick is preparing him like hot dogs.
Yeah.
You know, so I don't know what she's doing to earn $1,000 a day. I'm not going to speculate here. It's not that
I can give all kinds of speculations, but this is a family show, so
that's,
I won't go
right,
there.
That's right.
Yeah.
So she I'm sure she's earning $1,000 a day. But that being said, and then you turn on TMZ or whatever, you see Floyd there. Apparently it was big news everywhere except the US that he went on this tour. He went to Dubai and all over the Middle East and Europe or whatever. I don't know where he went. But, I mean, who cares, you know? But
who really cares?
Yeah, right. Yeah. I mean, he's making a big deal about how he was in Dubai. Yay.
Yeah.
You know? And it was just like, I mean, you know how much money he had to spend on that trip?
Yeah.
Just ridiculous, you know, amounts of cash.
And,
you know?
Look, let's face it. Boxers are not financial wizards. They in most cases, boxers don't hang on to their career earnings.
No.
They end up burning through it like water, and that's why you see boxers having to make comebacks.
I remember they interviewed some rap star back in the day, and he was making a video. And you know how, like, back in the day they had these videos and they had, like, these crazy cars, you know, like gold-plated Lamborghinis in them and stuff?
Right,
and
right.
They have, like, you know, all the women in bikinis and stuff like that, but they have, like, you know, sacks full of money and like these big super houses and, you know, and they're, you know, they're doing their thing. They're rapping on the balcony or whatever they're doing. And they interviewed her and they were like, you know, it's like, you know, is all this yours and everything like that? And the guy was like, no, all of it's not mine. We got to give it back as soon as the shoot is done. None of it's mine, you know?
Yeah.
And they give off this kind of vibe that, like, and I think people actually buy into that. And they say, wow, you know, like the athletes and stuff, they'll buy into it and say, wow, you know, look at that, like that guy. Look at that gold-plated Rolls Royce. I'm going to get that, you know. And not knowing that these guys don't have it, they just give it right back. Because it's not sound financial advice to buy a, you know.
I mean, look at Floyd Mayweather, for example. He has all those cars, right?
Yeah.
Including, what is it, a $4 or $5 million car?
Oh,
that he's probably only driven maybe once or twice since he bought it.
Right.
You know, I mean, come on.
I mean,
seriously?
Yeah. I mean, you know? Cars, they had a picture of him. I think they had a picture of him. I saw it on the internet where he's out there on like some kind of like a runway or tarmac or something like that.
Yeah.
He's got like a jet behind him. And it says, like, the Money Team Jet or TMT Jet or something like that. And then he's got about, you know, it looked like about 10 or 15 cars. And they're all, like, Lamborghinis and, like, the sports-type car, you know, like the expensive, you know, sports car-type stuff,
right.
You know.
Rolls Royce, Corvettes,
right.
Ferrari, that kind
you
of
know,
thing. Yeah.
I mean, yeah, exactly, you know. And he didn't have a Prius out of all that, which shocked me, you know. I mean,
but, no, Eric, the way he's going through money – He has to come back. I mean, there is no. I mean, look, he probably got enough money if he took care of it that he wouldn't have to worry about anything for the rest of his life. But
he
doesn't.
His kids wouldn't have to worry about anything either, you know.
Yeah, yeah, and but he does not know how. I mean, he's a compulsive gambler. He bets every time he. Like I got in this discussion recently over the Pete Rose situation.
Yeah.
Pete Rose lives in Las Vegas. Well, if you have a gambling problem,
the worst possible,
you know, that is not the place to live. Well, Floyd Mayweather is known for going into a casino and dropping $1 million.
Well, and not only that, like you'll see it every now and then on his Instagram or something like that. It'll pop up or shots or whatever he does.
Yeah.
You know, it'll pop up like a betting slip, like he bet on an underdog or something like that, and he comes out on top and he bet like $250,000.
Yeah.
You know? All right. Well, so maybe you won like $1 million there or $500,000, whatever you won.
Yeah.
But how many times does he do that where, you know, he lost the money? You know what I mean?
And let's keep in mind, gambling is legal in Nevada, but guess what? You got to pay taxes on all that, whether you win or lose.
Yeah.
You know.
Anything, what is it? Anything over 5,000, I think you have to pay taxes.
It's anything over 10, Eric.
Anything over 10, okay.
Yeah. Anything over 10. And, you know, my God, how would you like to be his tax person?
God.
Trying to figure out his financial books.
Boy, could you imagine? I mean, he's got to have, if he's smart, he has a bank looking after it. Because the banks will provide that services to, I guess, anybody, but a lot of, like, athletes take advantage of it.
I have a feeling the IRS one day is going to come knocking on this dude's door, and, boy, would you like to be there for that audit?
Yeah, right.
Well, you know?
And he's got, like, well, I wonder if it is bad, because in Nevada, isn't it like a no-tax type state where, like,
it is because the state makes so much money from the gambling revenue.
Yeah.
So, yeah, there is no property taxes or state sales tax or anything like that in Nevada because the gambling contributes so much to the state's coffers.
That's amazing. I'm moving to Nevada, man. I tell you what. All right, let me ask you. Now, we talked about Errol Spence becoming the next cash cow. Do you think Errol Spence or Keith Thurman, why do you think Errol Spence, because I think you're going to take Spence here, I'm not 100%, but does Errol Spence or Keith Thurman become the main draw at welterweight now?
Well, I think the only way we're ever going to answer that question is if Al Heyman's got the guts to match them up together, Eric.
Yep.
I don't think we're ever going to really know that answer. Unless they step in the ring together. So,
let me ask you this. If they're fighting, I mean, who would you rather watch fight? Not necessarily who's the best one out of these two, because like I said, I mean, I think we both agree that Spence is the guy.
Yeah.
At least I think Spence is the guy.
Yeah.
But, I mean, who would you rather watch? I mean, it's kind of like when when De La Hoya and Trinidad were both fighting, but they hadn't fought each other yet.
Yeah.
You know, who would you rather watch fight, you know?
Well, I like boxers, so I would be watching Spence.
Yeah.
Thurman, I think, depends way too much on his power. And I think if you put a good boxer against a power puncher who doesn't handle movement real well, that's a question with Thurman. He's been matched up so carefully, I don't know if he can handle a boxer who really knows how to move around the ring and cut off the ring and of course, on the reverse of that, we don't know how well Errol Spence can take a punch.
Well, we also don't know much about him. He hasn't, I mean, the talent level for Spence isn't really, like, stellar either, you know?
Well,
I mean, he's a young guy. He's still a young guy coming in.
That's because the PBC has matched these guys up carefully. And, look, for those that criticize the PBC, they have legitimate gripes when they put some of these matches together.
Yeah.
The way that the PBC can turn this around is start putting their top guys in the ring against each other. We're going to talk about it later, but finally Keith Thurman and Sean Porter are finally going to fight. Okay, well, the winner of that fight, whoever wins that fight, you put them in against Errol Spence. It's time to step up the level of competition and match up these guys against one another, because if the PBC keeps continuing to do what they've done over the last year, people are still going to criticize the brand and they're going to complain about the fights and justifiably so. If you want to stop all this criticism, start matching your top guys who you think are your top guys against other top guys in your division. And also, this goes for all promoters, everybody needs to start working with everybody else and match up make some of these fights possible that we all want to see. You know, 2016 could be a fabulous year in boxing if the people in our sport that we cover on a weekly basis would actually care about it as much as we fans do.
Well, I think I agree with you, but I think that a big key to that is going to be HBO.
Yeah.
I think HBO is a huge key to that, and if they're not willing to play ball and they're not willing to deal with Heyman and
PBC, I'm hoping,
then it's not going to happen. I mean,
I'm hoping that as of today, with the new guy officially taking over, I hope that changes.
I do too. Because, like I said, I mean, the Kovalev thing with Kathy Duva and everything like that, with Adonna Stevenson, that whole thing, it's the fact that he can't go off of HBO. He's got a contract with HBO. She's got a contract with HBO. So
well,
he's going to stay on that HBO, that pay-per-view model and everything like that. Unless, like I said, man, unless they can make a deal, then that's not going to happen.
Well, Kovalev, he'll get by Pascal, but then later on this year, if everything holds, and of course in boxing it hardly ever does, but later on this year, he's contractually obligated to fight Andre Ward. So, you know, by the end of 2016, we'll find out what Sergey Kovalev is made of. I got my criticisms of Andre Ward, and I made them perfectly clear. Andre Ward needs to prove to me that he still belongs on the pound-for-pound list. You can't continue to fight guys like Paul Smith or Alexander Brand or these other names that you're throwing out. You need to show everybody that you've still got it.
Andre Ward's the best fighter on the planet, son.
Pound for pound. Well,
best fighter. He's from your neck of the woods too. You don't even support your hometown guys.
He don't sell tickets, brother.
<He doesn't, laughs> Let me ask you this. When we're talking about the PBC and everything like this, do you see PBC belts this year? Rumor had it last year that the PBC was going to make their own belts and kind of rendered the WBC, WBA, IBF, all them useless.
I have a feeling that it's still in the works because, as you notice, whenever there are title fights, they instruct their ring announcers not to mention which belt is being fought for. They say what division, but they never say what belt. You know, like Michael Buffer and Jimmy Lennon Jr., when they do ring announcing for HBO and Showtime, when they introduce the fighters, they say this is for the WBC, WBA, WBO, IBF.
Right.
When you do the ring announcing for the PBC, you're not allowed to say the belt. So I have a feeling something is still in the works.
I do too, and I think we see them. I think they debuted late this year. That's what I think.
Yeah.
If not sooner, maybe during the summer or whatever, but I think they debut this year.
Right.
And I think he puts an end to this nonsense.
Yeah.
You know, because that's what it is. I mean, that's what it's about. Where, you know, with all the sanctioning bodies and all the BS and everything like that, you know, you can hold this belt, but you can't hold that belt, and just garbage. And
the perfect example of that is what happened to Tyson Fury, for God's sake. He wins the title on November 28th, and within a month, one of his belts are taken away.
Oh, it was like 2 weeks. It was less than 2 weeks.
Yeah, it was
ridiculous.
Yeah,
you know.
And now we're gonna have two title fights on January 16th, and one of them shouldn't even be occurring because realistically, those guys need to wait their turns.
Yeah.
You know.
All right. So let me ask you this too: do you think we have a unification fight this year with Tyson Fury and Deontay Wilder?
Well, see, the IBF kind of threw a whole wrench into that because now the way it's being set up is Wilder, of course, he'll probably win his fight on the 16th, although I don't think it'll be easy.
I don't think it's going to be either, man. Spilska's no joke, man.
And then he's got to deal with the mandatory with Povetkin. So he's got two fights before he can even tackle a unification. But what I think Wilder's going to wind up doing is I think he'll fight the IBF winner so he can have that belt. So him and Fury will have two belts apiece. I don't think you'll see Fury and Wilder fight, honestly, because of Wilder's obligations until 2017. Because Wilder's got this fight coming up in January, Then he's going to have to deal with Povetkin. And then he's going to have to fight the winner of the IBF title fight. So I don't think you're going to see Wilder and Fury until 2017. That's the way it looks.
Wilder's going to fight Spilska. If he gets past Spilska, then he's going to fight the winner. He's going to fight for the IBF title. He's going to fight the winner of Glasgow and Martin.
I like that.
Povetkin figures out. I don't think Povetkin is going to figure into this at all.
Okay.
I think I think they will give him a pass if he fights for another belt.
Okay. All right.
That's what I think is going to happen.
And let's face it, Povetkin wants passes. He don't want that fight.
I don't know what Povetkin wants. But it's definitely not Wilder. And as far as Fury goes, I mean, I don't see Fury. I don't see that fight happening. I really don't. I think Fury at the end of the year, I think Fury sets up a big fight. He'll fight Klitschko again. He'll get by Klitschko. And I think he may fight like another mandatory or something like that. At the end of the year, I think he goes against Anthony Joshua. I think this is going to be Anthony Joshua's year, but I think his time comes late.
Okay.
And I think he's going to demolish Tyson Fury. I think Anthony Joshua is going to demolish anybody they put in front of him.
Why do you think Tyson Fury avoids a unification bout? Because as we're going to discuss later with Billy Joe Saunders, I'm sure an awful lot of money is going to be offered for a unification thing.
Well, that's the thing, because he'll stay in Britain and make a lot more money than he will here.
Yeah. Do you think Wilder will make the track across the pond, because we know the UK.
If I'm Wilder, and I've got 50% of the belts, I've got two belts, and I've got two of the major belts.
Yeah.
I've got WBC and what is it? He's fighting for
WBA. He'll have the WBC and IBF, and then Fury has the WBA and WBO.
WBO. Those are two big belts he's got there. And I think, Wilder, I think Wilder's got more marketing power. I really do. I mean, he's a better-known champion. He's a charismatic guy. He's very marketable. Not that Tyson Fury's not. That's a very marketable fight. I see Fury kind of taking his time and milking the championship just like Wilder's doing. And working for a big fight. But I think Anthony Joshua gets in somebody's way on the way to that fight happening. So, all right, let's switch gears here. The biggest fight of 2016, who do you see it as? Who's the biggest fight?
Oh, without a doubt, in my opinion, and go ahead and say I'm crazy, Canelo Alvarez and Triple G.
That's a big fight. That's a big
I think,
fight.
I think that will be the fight of the year in 2016, and I think it's going to happen in September.
The biggest fight. So you think that's going to be the biggest fight in 2016? I'm going to switch it up, man. And I think the biggest fight in 2016, in terms of revenue, in terms of gate and everything like that, is going to be Tyson Fury and Anthony Joshua. Later on in the year.
When do you think that happens? Because we don't have an official date yet.
I'm thinking, like I said, and I think Errol Spence, Keith Thurman is also a big fight, and I think that's going to happen this year.
Yeah.
Because that's the kind of fights they look for, because I think, those bigger fights. But I think that Fury and Joshua will happen. I think that's a fight that's going to happen, because I think Joshua kind of comes of age this year.
Okay.
I think that's going to be the biggest fight, and I think it takes place in Wembley, and I think it sells it out, and we'll see.
Okay. Yeah. Do you think Amir Khan, and speaking of Wembley, do you think Amir Khan and Cal Brook happen in Wembley?
If it happens anywhere, it's going to happen in Wembley. Yeah, I think that's a big deal. That's a big deal.
Now, do you make those two separate dates, or do you put Fury, Joshua, Khan? And
rumor has it that fight, if it takes place, would be in June. I don't see Joshua being ready until late this year, and it may not even take place this year. It may even take him into 2017. To me, that's the logical. Move. But no, I always think you put these fights on separate. If the promoter, the fan in me wants to see them both on one card.
Absolutely.
But the promoter in me says, "Hey, I think that we could separate this out and make twice as much money."
Not only do I think Golovkin and Triple G will be the fight of the year, I think that's the fight that's going to take place in Cowboy Stadium, where you're going to see 100,000 people there.
Wow, how crazy is that?
Yeah.
That would be insane. That would be insane.
Because Golovkin keeps going to Texas, so they've got something going on in Texas.
They want him fighting, yeah. They definitely want him fighting there.
So, and of course, that's home territory for Canelo, because he's already fought. He's already fought in San Antonio, and San Antonio he filled up a 40,000 seat place. So why not put Triple G and Canelo in September in Cowboy Stadium?
Right. I agree. All right, so let's talk about the upcoming fights this week.
Okay.
As we look on the schedule here, there wasn't a whole lot over break. There was one or two fights over break, nothing to write home about. Now, on January 9th, that'll be this Saturday, nothing real big. We have the biggest fight on the docket here is Evgeny Gradovich versus Jesus Galicia, 10 rounds, and that's taking place in Spain.
Okay.
I think Gradovich wins this one easy. I think he gets back on track, and that happens on Saturday. But, again, nothing here. You'll have to stream it if you want to watch it or catch it on YouTube or something like that.
No, I think our biggest U.S. fight, our first big U.S. fight of the year is going to be January 16th with Wilder. Yeah.
Right. And then also, too, on January 12th, that's Tuesday, Fox Sports 1 has
a
card,
okay.
Miguel Flores versus Mario Briones, 10 rounds featherweights, and that'll be next Tuesday.
Right, okay.
And then, of course, and we'll talk about next week the big one, Wilder, the heavyweight championship of the world. I can't wait for that one. That's going to be
It's a heavyweight doubleheader.
Thanks to
the IBF. I don't blame either one of these guys for taking the fight. I would, too, if I wanted a title, but I don't like the way they've earned this shot, you know.
No way, man. They haven't really earned it, you know.
Right.
Neither one of them have. I mean, you know, they're not...
they're not household names yet, you know.
Well, no. And to get a crack at the biggest prize in the game, no.
Yeah.
Chance to be called the heavyweight champion, no way.
Yeah, no. You know, come on. Anyway, but no, we'll deal with that next week.
All right. Let's move along to our history lesson. We're going deep. January 22nd, 1988. Larry Holmes, the Holmes, the Easton Assassin, versus Iron Mike Tyson. Unbelievable. This is like a dream match.
All fighters have one of these nights where they realize, you know what, it's time to retire, you know?
Well, the ironic thing is he was retired. He was retired for 2 years after the loss of Sphinx, he retired. And
I know.
Don King, you know, of course, says, hey, wait a minute, what about this, you know? After winning all four of his championship bouts in 1987, four championship bouts in 1987, Tyson's promoter Don King organized a dream match with former WBC IBF heavyweight champion Larry Holmes. The 38-year-old Holmes had been out of boxing for nearly 2 years, having retired, of course, after two losses to Sphinx.
Right.
Holmes had difficulty working out a deal with King. Shocking. However, was estimated $3 million being offered to him, as well as, you know, the chance of becoming the heavyweight champion. You know, of course, he had to do it.
Right.
You know, Holmes said he was going to knock out Tyson. He was there for one of Tyson's fights called Tyson a Dirty Fighter. Says he throws elbows and headbutts and was just a dirty fighter, and he was going to knock him out. He was going to.
Well, we got a knockout all right, but it wasn't him doing it, that's for sure.
I tell you, you know what struck me in this fight? You know, the fight obviously went four rounds, but what struck me in this fight is that Larry Holmes' defense, and you could tell he was such a veteran. Tyson came out and, you know, he hit him a couple of times, but he was really unable to do any damage to him. He really was for the first three rounds.
Right.
You know, he may have caught him with some shots, but Holmes on the other end could do nothing with Tyson. I mean, he had nothing. I mean, that jab was not working. He had a jab and it was not working. And it was, I don't know if it was his timing being off 2 years. I don't know what it was. But the jab was clearly not working that night, and I think it was Tyson's movement that really bothered him.
Well, when you're out of the ring for 2 years, if you're not in the gym every day, you're going to lose a lot of your, you know, skills. Come on.
Well, not to mention, I mean, Tyson, who was in fighting shape in the sense that he had fought, you know, there was no ring rust on him. He had just fought four times in a year.
Yeah, now that's why we all like Triple G, because he's willing to put the gloves on as many times as they allow him. I mean, come on, that's, you know. So, yeah.
So, up till about the third round, it was all Tyson, but it wasn't him. Tyson wasn't, sweeping the floor with it. He was winning the rounds.
No, that's true.
But Tyson was trying. He was definitely trying to get him out of there. And Holmes, of course, was just trying to parry the attack.
Yeah.
The fourth round, things really changed, man. Holmes tried to hold him, tried to slow Tyson down throughout the fight. He started off pretty good in the fourth round. He hit Tyson a couple times with his jab. As the round went on, though, Tyson, continues to attack him. He gets him up against the ropes, landing a right hand to the side of Holmes' head about a minute into the round. After the exchange, Tyson would continue to be aggressive, causing Holmes to hold. Joe Cortez actually broke him up. Tyson hit Holmes with a left jab, right hand combination that sent Holmes to the canvas. Holmes was able to get back up, but was immediately met with another big combination from Tyson, who knocked Holmes down for a second time with a right hook to the head. Holmes stumbled back to his feet and was able to answer the referee's eight count. Tyson would continue to hammer Holmes with powerful combinations until finally delivering the final blow with 7 seconds left in a round, a right hook that dropped Holmes for the third time in the round, after which Joe Cortez stopped the fight and awarded the fight to Tyson via TKO.
That's correct, and that was Larry's retirement. He realized, I really can't do this anymore.
I'll never forget it. When he's hitting him against the ropes, and you could see Larry go for a right uppercut in his hand. This was the kind of night it was for Holmes. His hand got trapped on the ropes. And his hand, as soon as his hand got trapped, man, Mike Tyson let that right hand go, and man, he was gone.
Yeah.
It was just bad, man. It was just bad to watch. It was like, oh, man.
Yep.
Because Holmes had been such a dominant champion. And to see him dominated like that, it was just like, wow.
Well, let's face it. Larry Holmes' last three fights were all losses.
Yeah.
And,
of course, Holmes came back again. A couple years after that, when he was 41. He came back when he was 41 and went on like a 5-fight streak, and then he fought Ray Mercer. Dominated Ray Mercer, man, and that was kind of the comeback. He got the shot at Holyfield, of course, lost
that's
that.
Right.
But pretty good comeback for him. He has nothing to hold his head about, to hang his head over. Great fight. Who wins this fight in their primes?
In their prime, with Tyson's power, I think I'd still have to take Mike. Larry wasn't really a knockout puncher. He didn't specialize. Larry loved the 15-round fights because Larry could take you the distance and look at what Larry did to Randall Tex Cobb. Remember that?
Yeah, I remember that fight, yeah.
He gave him a hell of a beating for 45 minutes. I mean, Tex Cobb was a dude that would have been perfect for the UFC these days. I mean, he could take a beating and keep on going, And
tough man contest, exactly.
If Larry can't get rid of a guy like Randall Tex Cobb, I don't think he could ever knock out Mike. I think if fights were still 15, that's why I missed the 15-round title fights, because you really found out who is prepared to be a champion. Sometimes in today's fighting, 36 minutes is, you really don't know what a guy's made of, but those extra three rounds, 13th, 14th, and 15th round, they always told a story in a title fight.
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. I don't know. I don't know who I liked in this one, man, because Holmes had that jab. Tyson always had problems with jabs, but I think he would have had a problem with Tyson's movement. I don't think he ever fought a guy
in Tyson's
prime that was able to move like Tyson, like a cat, man.
Yeah.
It would have been it would have been a really good fight, though. It would have been
good
fight.
Yeah.
I wish we could have saw it.
And, let's face it, with as big as heavyweights are today, Mike Tyson and Larry Holmes, you don't know how successful they would have been because they were basically smaller heavyweights.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, because you think about Tyson versus Klitschko and how big Klitschko is, or Tyson against, Deontay Wilder or something like that, and everybody has their opinion on that fight. But, I mean, you're looking at a guy who is big and powerful and, can really hit. Tyson was in there with, like, Tyrell Biggs and guys like that. He never, Razor Ruddock was about the biggest guy I think he fought, wasn't it?
Mike Tyson would have been a perfect cruiserweight these days.
Yeah, Yeah, because the heavyweights are so much bigger now.
Yeah.
Than they were in the past, man. I mean, and look at the body types. What I always find funny is the body types of like heavyweights now. Like you look at Klitschko and you look at Deontay Wilder, not so much Fury, but those guys, man, and they look like they're shredded. You remember Bruce Seldon, how big he was back in the day,
yeah.
Or Evander Holyfield.
Yeah.
I mean, but look at Larry Holmes. He was never, like, shredded. He had a boxer's body.
Yeah.
He had the old-time boxer's body where he didn't have a gut or anything, but it was flat. He was toned up.
Let's face it, they're marketing Tyson Fury as this 6'9" monster. when they put him next to Klitschko, there's no way that he's 3 inches taller than Vladimir Klitschko.
No.
Absolutely, come on, people. Are you using the NBA measurements for heights?
Yeah, right.
I mean, give me a break.
Exactly.
There is no way that a Tyson Fury is 3 inches taller than Vladimir Klitschko. Absolutely. If you put Fury in the ring with Wilder, you're gonna see Wilder actually probably look bigger than Fury.
Yeah, I wouldn't. Yeah. I wouldn't put it past. I wouldn't. Yeah, because Wilder's a big guy. Wilder's humongous, man.
Yeah. you can tell this dude works out because, he's supposed to be 6'7", but he actually looks bigger than that because of his body type.
He's a monster, man. I remember shaking the guy's hand. I remember shaking Deontay Wilder's hand, and he's like it was like shaking a bear paw or something like that.
It was
ridiculous, man.
Yeah. Well, hey, and of course he's a friend of the show. One of the best interviews we've ever had.
Yeah, Wilder's awesome, man. Love Wilder. All right, so let's move ahead to our fantasy lightweight tournament.
Yep.
All right.
Good fights this week, I think.
Very good fights, yeah. And this 6-8. This is to go to the Sweet 16. We'll have
actually, wouldn't this be going to the Elite Eight?
No. Next week, after next week, we'll have our Elite Eight.
Okay, all right.
All right, so let's see here. Yeah, you know what? You're right. No, you're not right.
Okay, I thought,
this goes to the Sweet 16. See, you're messing me up here.
I'm sorry.
Me up. What are you doing? Come on.
Well,
every year, you know?
Hey, you got to be in top shape like Aaron Pryor.
That's right. All right, so our first fight on the schedule here, Pernell Sweet Pea Whitaker versus one of the all-time greats, Henry Armstrong.
You know, this is two boxers, supreme boxers against one another. I mean, that's what Henry Armstrong was known for. That's what Sweet Pea was known for. I think this goes to decision. Is probably split here. I'm going to take the one I know best, Sweet Pea. What about you?
I'm going to have to take Pernell Whitaker, man, on this one. I really do. I think that the thing is, man, he was a fighter. As I'm watching Henry Armstrong and I watch tapes of Henry Armstrong, he's a fighter that just puts a lot of pressure. He comes forward. He doesn't stop. You know, he applies a lot of pressure. The problem I have is that, you know, when I look at him and I look at, you know, the way he comes out and the way he tries to fight on the inside, when I look at his hands, okay, and this has nothing to do with – this is the style back then. He had his hands so far apart.
Right.
You know, so they could throw power shots. I just see Whitaker all day in this one.
Exactly, because Whitaker had his hands closer together. He had good defense. That's why he never seriously got hurt in a fight, because nobody could really find a weakness to actually hurt him because he moved so much.
Henry Armstrong, I think he hits – I think after he gets in a couple of exchanges and he gets hit, and even though Whitaker I don't think has the power to knock him out, okay?
No. Why I think this goes the distance.
I think once they get in those exchanges and he gets hit, nobody likes to get hit. So once you get hit a couple of times, you're going to start thinking about what's coming back. Because he's hitting you and you're not hitting him. And you're going to have to change up your game plan. I'm just throwing it air right now. I've got to figure something out.
Well, it's like Mike Tyson says, everybody's got a plan until they get hit.
Right.
You know?
Exactly. Yeah. I think Pernell Whitaker wins this. I think it's a very close unanimous or close decision, whether it's unanimous or not. I think it's close.
Yeah.
You're taking Sweet Pea. Sweet Pea advances. Computer, takes Henry Armstrong.
See, that's why I knew it was going to be a split decision.
Right, right, yeah, yeah. Split decision, man. Computer takes Henry Henry Armstrong here. All right, so our next one, Pernell Whitaker moves on.
Yeah.
Hector Camacho versus Joe Gans. Joe Gans boxed before in the 1900s.
Yeah.
He's accomplished a ton of things in his career and is one of the best lightweights in his era. That being said, there's no way he beat Hector Camacho. Style, to me, would have given Gans a ton of problems. Camacho's movement would have given him a ton of problems. Gans had never seen a fighter like Camacho before in his era. This would be complete destruction. I guess Camacho by KO.
Macho Man moves on all day. Oh, and that's going to be a great fight. Macho Man against Sweet Pea.
At 135.
Yeah. Right.
Another split decision as a computer picks Joe Gans.
Okay.
All right. So next one is going to be Edwin Rosario versus Diego Corrales.
I listened back to the Edwin Rosario Camacho fight, and that was a good fight. So, I got to go with my hometown guy here. I got to take Chico, Diego Corrales. Man, he's got to stick with a hometown guy here. I don't know if he wins, but that's who I take.
It's such a close fight, man. But I tell you what, I think that Diego's size poses a problem here.
Mm-hmm.
I think that Diego's size poses a big problem for Rosario. And I know Rosario couldn't stand up to Chavez's power. And I know Corrales had a lot of power. Now, whether it was Chavez's power or not, I don't know. But I think that Corrales wins this fight, and I think that he wins it via knockout.
Yeah, no, I gotta go with a home. You accused me earlier of not supporting a hometown guy. Well, I am here.
It's unanimous. Computer takes Corrales also. Diego Corrales moves on.
All right.
Now our last one: Shane Mosley versus Benny Leonard. Benny Leonard is number three, our third ranked guy here, our third seed. So 1 and 2 have moved on. Number four, Jorge Linares is out. Benny Leonard, number three. Let's see if he moves on here. Benny Leonard is another all-time great who boxed in the 20s. Again, this is going to be one of those fights when the different eras come into play. After watching the film on Benny Leonard, I can't see any way he competes with the speed or power of Mosley at lightweight. Mosley, to me, as a boxer, is just on another level. And that's not to take anything away from Benny Leonard's boxing ability. The plain fact of the matter is if Benny Leonard would have boxed in Mosley's era, he would have been champion.
Yep.
But we have to take Leonard's style in his era, in his match, you know, the style that he took, you know, in his era against Mosley in his era.
Right. Sugar Shane all day here.
Listen, man, we're talking about 80-some-odd years later.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, you really are. You're talking about 80 years later when Mosley was in his prime.
Yeah.
You know, boxing styles have progressed. Training has progressed.
Yeah.
That's what you have to take into account, for me anyway, when you choose winners for this type of thing.
Yeah.
I see Mosley winning a unanimous decision.
Yep.
I got Mosley unanimous decision.
Go ahead.
Computer chooses Benny Leonard.
Well, the computer lost all the decisions today. That's cool, man.
All right, so Shane Mosley. You're taking Shane Mosley?
Yes.
Yeah, I think so, too. Benny Leonard, of course, man, was a super great fighter, great athlete. And let's take it even to, you know, let's talk about Henry Armstrong. How good, you know, we talked about Henry Armstrong and Pernell Whitaker. How good was Henry Armstrong? Henry Armstrong held titles at featherweight, lightweight, and welterweight at the same time.
And didn't Armstrong and Leonard actually fight one another or did they fight in different time periods?
I'm not 100% sure if they did or not, man. Not 100% sure.
Okay. But I know everybody in boxing always talks about Henry Armstrong. So
not to mention, Henry Armstrong also won fought for the middleweight title.
Yeah.
He won the fight. By all accounts, he won the fight, but they called it a draw, so he didn't get the title. He would have had four of the eight titles back then. There was only eight titles back then.
That's
right. He would have had four of the eight. Instead, he had three of the eight.
Right.
How crazy is that? That's a bad man right there.
Yeah.
But, again, man, you have to take an era, you know, the era he was in while he was great and dominant against those athletes. I don't know that he would have been as dominant against Whitaker. You know, it's just like you take a guy like Muhammad Ali and how much havoc he wreaked in the heavyweight division prior to, you know, I mean, nobody had seen anything like it. And that's why he was able to move. You know, I mean, you look at like Primo Carnera, Max Baer, and all those older Joe Louis and all the older type heavyweights that were not really, you know, not a good mover like Ali was.
Right.
You know, and how much havoc he wreaked. Okay, so it's tough when you talk about different eras. These are great, great fighters. But when you put them against that era and take them, it's a lot different, man. It's a tough thing, because I think that either one of these guys would have gotten picked apart by Shane Mosley or Pernell Whitaker. I think they would have just gotten picked apart. I think the speed was too much.
Mm-hmm.
Speed would have been way too much, and they didn't train like that back in the day, you know.
Yep.
So definitely. So let's take a look at it here, man. The next week we have our Sweet 16 here. Actually, we have our Elite Eight. You're right. I'm an idiot today.
I thought so, Eric.
I'm an idiot. I admit it. It's a new year. I'm slow. We've been off for 2 weeks. It's ring rust, man.
Hey, then Ringside Robert has not got any ring rust, because I was all over it, man.
And you don't even have the paper in front of you. That's the worst part about this whole thing. I've got the file right in front of me. I'm looking at it. And I'm counting 16 names when there's only 8. All right, here we go. Roberto Duran next week. Our matches are going to be, I'll run down them all, but next week our matches are going to be Roberto Duran versus Roger Mayweather.
Oh, yeah.
Going to be a good one. Tony Canzonieri against Alexis Arguello. And Tony Canzonieri is about the last one of the old timers here, of the real old ones, man.
Yeah.
And then after that, the next show, we're going to do Pernell Whitaker. He's going to fight Hector Camacho.
Yeah. What
and
a fight.
Diego Corrales versus Shane Mosley. That's going to be a good fight, too.
That's a doubleheader on pay-per-view there, right there.
Yeah, I hear that, man. Yeah. Some good fights here. So, we'll see. All right, let's move on to our news and rumors section here.
Okay.
Let's start off with our train wreck of the week. As we noted earlier in the show, the train wreck of the week, Manny Pacquiao. Manny Pacquiao, who had a, you know, who had chosen, who had said that, you know, some of the people that he could fight on his comeback, Adrian Bronner, Tim Bradley,
Amir Khan,
Marquez was mentioned. Terrence Crawford was, by and large, the front runner.
Yeah.
For this. Pacquiao chose Tim Bradley, for the third fight. What on earth are you thinking about when you made this fight? What on earth were you thinking about? I have no idea what was going through his mind. What was going through Aram's mind when he has to sell this garbage?
Believe it or not, Eric, it could have been a lot worse, because one of the top-notch boxing writers in the business, Steve Kim, he honestly thought it was going to be Juan Manuel Marquez.
God.
You know, and that would have been worse than Bradley, because because Marquez and Pacquiao put on 4 excellent fights, but as we all know, Marquez is having issues. Apparently, he's got knee trouble. You know, that would have been, it would have been like Sergio Martinez all over again.
Right.
You know,
and I mean, they put on 4 great fights. They really did.
Yeah.
Every one of their fights is good. I don't want to see it again, though. I've already seen it.
But
We've got the end to it. We've got it. You know.
But people can argue with me all day. I don't care. I'm gonna stick to this opinion until I can no longer have one. But Tim Bradley and Manny Pacquiao have fought twice. Manny Pacquiao dominated both fights. I don't give a flying, you know what. What the judges said the first time around. There's no way in hell Tim Bradley ever won that first fight. Pacquiao dominated 24 rounds. Why do we need to see another 12?
It was complete domination both fights. It wasn't even close.
Yeah.
I mean, it wasn't even close, and I don't care what you say about the first fight. The first fight was garbage. The first fight was garbage. There's no way you can give Bradley that first fight.
I mean, what in the hell were two of those judges seeing in that first fight? Because with me being only
money
able
in their
to
bank account, that's what they were seeing.
Yeah.
Let me tell you what. There's no way he won that fight.
No.
You can watch it over and over again. Watch it in slow mo. Watch it with the sound turned down. Watch it with, you know, whatever. Watch it in the dark.
Hey,
I don't care.
I watched it twice, and my scorecard was the same both times.
Right.
12-0.
Yeah, I mean, it was ridiculous. You know, and that second fight was worse too. I mean, it was like, you know, and he, I understood they, I, let's see the second fight because, you know, you want to redeem that loss or whatever. Why is there a third fight? And why did you call for the third fight? That's the thing. It wasn't like Bradley's over there clamoring for a third fight. You said, okay, let's me and Bradley fight again. It's not like Bradley is calling out Pacquiao.
You know, the highlight of this promotion is going to be Freddie against Teddy.
Well, I don't even know about that because even Teddy Atlas had come on and said that he's not going to be drawn into any arguments with Freddie or any of his gamesmanship, you know.
Well, that's what Teddy says, but come on. We all know Teddy Atlas. I mean, if you push the right button, he'll be like Angel Garcia.
Yeah, I mean, I'd rather see, you know, Atlas and Freddie Roach fight than I want to see Bradley and Pacquiao fight again.
You know,
the worst part? You know it's going to be on pay-per-view.
Of course it is.
I'm not paying for it. I'm not paying for it. Just like I didn't pay for Mayweather Berto. I am not paying for it.
Well, in order to cover it on this show, I will because, you know, I want to be able to talk about
it. Well, I appreciate that, Rob. Mm-hmm. You know, I appreciate that. You put your neck out for the show, and I like that.
Yeah. this is horrible. We got a pretty good undercard fight that I don't know because of one of the guys being so much older, and I haven't seen him fight in years. But on paper, this stacks up to be a decent fight. Gilberto Ramirez gets his title shot against Arthur Abraham. And Manny is the one making this happen as well. Arum and company didn't want to put out the money for Abraham, apparently. Apparently Pacquiao was doing this to get him to come over here.
Yeah, I think that, you know, I think it's a good fight. Again, it's not going to make me buy the card, though.
No,
and they're
going
to try to stack the card, and they're going to try to, just like Mayweather did Berto, because they have no options. It's not like this, you know, if it's Terrence Crawford and Pacquiao, then you don't really have to stack the card as much.
No.
You know, but now you're forced to stack that card.
You know?
It's ridiculous.
Right.
But it's just silly. I mean, I can't believe they're fighting again. You had Adrian Broner, and the thing with Michael Kotz came out as far as with Broner and said that, you know, we did offer Adrian Broner the fight. They didn't offer the fight to Adrian Broner, but they were in talks with Adrian Broner for the fight, and Adrian Broner couldn't keep his mouth shut about it.
Well, of course, look, you know, Adrian Broner suffers from... Adrian Broner suffers from Amir Khan disease.
Right, right. I mean, that's the thing. I mean... I don't know what's with these people, man. Why does it have to be a couple of things? Why does it have to be so secretive? Okay, they're talking to you about a fight. Either shut up or you know who you're talking to.
Yeah.
You know you're talking to a loudmouth, all right? So you know he's going to post it on Twitter. You know what he's going to do. The fight wasn't happening. That's just it. The fight wasn't going to happen. Amir Khan was the other guy. Barry Hearn had come out and said that Amir Khan, he had talked to Bob Arum.
Yeah.
I guess he had asked Arum, he said, what's the chances of him fighting Pacquiao? And he was less than 1%. He wasn't going to get that fight either.
No.
You know, Amir Khan would have been a good choice.
Yeah.
Amir Khan would have been a good choice. Terrence Crawford would have been a choice. Broner would have been a good choice.
Broner
would have been a great choice. If you want my opinion, Broner would have been a perfect choice because Broner has that, you know, Mayweather-esque type of, the bravado, loudmouth kind of thing, and that style, you know, he's got that similar style or whatever.
Yeah.
So I thought that would have been a great fight. I thought that would have been a really good promotion, really good everything. I mean, Bradley 3?
One that absolutely deserves this fight is the guy from Nebraska.
Terrence Crawford, come on. Why? I mean, why not give the fight to Crawford? And I tell you what, Bob Arum dropped the ball big time on this.
Yeah.
He dropped the ball big time because I know Manny can choose whoever he wants to choose, but Arum can, you know.
I'm gonna say something here, and people are gonna hate me for it. But Bob is like 83, 84 years old. I think it's time that he get the hell out of the business and turn the company over to somebody else.
Yeah, I mean, you know, you really dropped the ball big time on this, and what could be Pacquiao's last fight? I mean, you really dropped the ball, and not to mention, and you mentioned something too. Earlier in the show, or maybe it was off air, I'm not sure what it was, but you talk about the Pacquiao's going to fight Bradley, and then he's going to look for another fight against Mayweather. Nobody wants to see that fight either, Einstein.
No, but,
nobody wants to see that fight. Nobody.
No, I mentioned that on air here. I believe it's on air because and in case it isn't, I'll reiterate what I heard. When in the article I read where the Bradley fight was announced, Arum said, and I quote, but I don't know if this is Bob Arum wishful thinking or Manny Pacquiao's wishful thinking, but Arum said Pacquiao wants to look good against Bradley, beat Bradley, and then talk Mayweather out of retirement. Number one, as we discussed earlier, I do believe Floyd will be coming back because Floyd doesn't know how to handle his money, as we discussed earlier. But there's no way in hell that Showtime and HBO are going to put this spectacle on again because there's no way it's ever going to reach. Remember, May 2nd, 2015, we had 4.4 million suckers pay $100 a piece.
And
how
the fight
many
sucked.
Of,
and, the
yeah.
fight sucked.
Yeah. And so how many of those people, 4.4 million, how many of those people do you think are going to buy a rematch? It won't even reach a million. That's just my personal opinion.
The fight was awful. Just like nobody wants to see a Bradley 3, you know, Pacquiao Bradley 3, nobody wants to see a Mayweather Pacquiao 2.
No.
Because the first fight sucked. Risk you run. When you put on a lousy fight like that, nobody wants to see the rematch. Both these idiots thought, oh, wow, a rematch. I mean, it's going to be a close fight. We're going to have a second one, possibly a third one. Nobody wants to see it because we all paid $100 and got ripped off for a track meet. That's why nobody wants to see it. I could see Usain Bolt for free, okay? I don't need to pay $100 to watch him. The fight was awful on both ends. The fight was awful for Pacquiao. It was awful for Mayweather. The fight sucked.
Eric, do you think we'll ever see the day where we'll have another $100 pay-per-view?
Oh, yeah. Absolutely. Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. No time soon, but we absolutely will.
Oh, okay. Yeah.
Fights are sneaking up there anyway. I mean, how much was the Canelo fight? How much was the Canelo-Cotto fight? 70 bucks?
It was 60.
60?
Well, it was 70 on HD.
Yeah, it was 70. All right, so 70 bucks.
Yeah.
All right, so it was 70 bucks. Yeah. I remember back when Tyson fought Spinks, I think it was like, what was the, I don't remember the price of it, but it was higher, it was like $20 or $30 higher than you were used to normally paying.
Well, I can remember the first pay-per-view fight I ever bought was Hagler-Leonard.
Yeah.
And the cable company back then, this was like 80, the Hagler-Leonard thing took place in 87. Back then, in order for cable companies to make their money, because I had cable back then, what they did is they packaged WrestleMania 3 and Hagler-Leonard together. So I ended up paying $60 for two events.
All
so
right,
30,
okay.
30 bucks a piece. You know, back then, it made that's what cable companies used to do.
Right.
They would package more than one event. You know, and that was my first paper because I used to be a really big wrestling fan back in the day.
Oh yeah.
So you know, so when they offered me that deal, I took it because I not only did I get a great wrestling event, but I got a history making fight, and
right.
to this day I still think Marvin Hagler won that fight.
I do too. I thought he was robbed.
Yeah. And he got what I love about that, and I'll never forget this part of the story. He was so disgusted, he left the country.
He didn't up and leave town. He left the country.
Yeah.
He left the country. He just said, he ain't never been back. He ain't never been back to live since he's gone.
He
up and left.
Now, that's a boxer making a permanent statement. It's like, no talk about no rematch. No, he retired and he left the country.
Absolutely, absolutely.
Yeah. But no, I think the one fight this year, well, look, now we know that there's going to be at least three fights on pay-per-view this year. We got Pacquiao-Bradley April 9th. Then we're going to have later on Canelo and Triple G, and of course at some time we're going to have Ward and Kovalev. So those are going to be three fights that we know of. They're going to be pay-per-view. But we also know that Canelo is going to have his tune-up against probably Gabriel Rosado. That's disgusting. That's probably going to be on pay-per-view.
That's probably going to be May 7th, I think. Like that.
Yeah. So, because I hate to say this, I hope they don't put Triple G back on pay-per-view against for a tune-up.
No.
That's at least four pay-per-views already. And we only had, last year, I think we only had four. We had Mayweather Pacquiao. We had Mayweather Berto. We had Lemieux and Triple G, and then we had Cotto and Canelo. So I think we're going to get four pay-per-views at least this year.
Man, I hope the pay-per-view model fails miserably. I hope all of them get less than $1 million buys. What was the buy rate? And I think maybe we reported it, but I don't remember it. What was the buy rate on the Cotto Canelo fight?
That was the top. Other than Mayweather Pacquiao, that was the top pay-per-view because it got 900,000.
It didn't even reach a million. Yeah, it didn't even reach a million. That's crazy.
No.
People are soured, and that's the other thing those idiots did with Pacquiao and Mayweather. Those two morons ruined pay-per-view for every other boxer out there right now in this era.
Now remember, Triple G is more entertaining than Mayweather. More entertaining than Pacquiao these days. What did Triple G get? $150,000. That's unfair to him.
Yeah. Even Shane Mosley was laughing at that pay-per-view price.
Yeah. I mean, a Triple G is a fan-friendly fighter, and only $100,000. Now, look, he sold out Madison Square Garden. How many fighters can do that?
Right.
Well,
I mean, Adrian Broner couldn't even sell out the U.S. Bank over here in Cincinnati, so...
5,000, Eric. You were there,
5,000. Yeah. I think it was like 4,700 or something. Yeah. And you know the worst part about that whole thing, man, is they had comped a number of those seats. Close to 1,000 seats were comped.
And that's a place that holds like 17,000,
Craziness, boy. Yeah. They didn't even open up the top row. They were like, we're never wasting our time. They didn't even dust up there,
No, they did not.
Wow. All right, so let's talk about Robert's boy, Zhu Ximing. He returns January 30th. Two-time Olympic gold medalist. He's going to face a Brazilian, undefeated Brazilian, who's 12-10, Nathan Santana.
Wait a minute. You just said he's an undefeated Brazilian, and then you read his record at 12-10.
Yeah, 12 wins, 10 knockouts.
Oh, okay. All right. Yeah. I was going to say, what's going on here?
All amateur fights, but don't worry about that,
Okay. All right.
So, some Brazilian, Nathan Santana. So,
well, number one, this is one Chinaman I don't want to see because the Italian.
Chinaman?
The Italian stallion, Ruan, who should be fighting Chaco Vitito.
I want to see that fight. That's a fight I hope materializes, man. I don't know who's. Yeah. I want to see that fight, man, because that Ruan Wrong is no joke, man. He's a good fighter.
He did boxing a real big favor by giving this guy his first loss.
Why are you piling on Zhu Ximing, man? What's wrong with you?
The guy can't fight.
Why are you hating on him? He's a two-time gold medalist. What do you mean he can't fight? You're hating on a guy, man.
So is Ricky Diao, and look at how many people went to sleep on the pay-per-view. Come on.
Not exactly the way to get yourself another pay-per-view fight.
I don't know if you heard the interview that Harold Letterman did with Steve Kim, but Harold Letterman made it very clear that the next time that Ricky Diao fights, he's going to take a nap.
Wow.
He wasn't even interested.
Man, I tell you though, that guy is technically superior to any other fighter out there, man. That's disrespectful. How dare you, Harold Letterman?
You got to sell seats, man. He didn't sell anything.
Yeah, I mean, the guy couldn't hit him, but yeah, you're right, man.
Yeah.
But I tell you what, if I'm in a fight or something like that, I want to have Riggenbauer style because I don't want to get hit either, man.
That's right. Hey, if they offer you to fight Riggenbauer, go ahead and take it because you're not going to get hurt.
Let's move on to Amir Khan and Kell Brook. Amir Khan and Kell Brook are going to begin discussions for a bout in June You know, it's about time, not to mention Amir's only big money fight. Matchroom owner Barry Hearn, not Eddie Hearn, but Barry Hearn is Pops, states that Khan has been very difficult to deal with.
Look, I've got to ask a serious question for all the UK people out there. For all of you that support Amir Khan, aren't you tired of him talking his way out of big fights? I mean, how can you support a guy who obviously is a good fighter and obviously deserves to be on this top level, but he keeps talking his way out of fight? Look, he blew the Mayweather fight, what, two or three times? And now he blew now he blew the Pacquiao fight. What's up with this dude?
I don't know. I don't know. I mean, did he blow those fights? I think you got to think about it, too. Is, you know, did he really blow the fights, or did they really have any real intention on fighting him? You know, because, I mean, they talked about so Mayweather was just irritated with Khan, and he took Berto instead. I mean, you're not going to tell me Berto is not an easier fight than Khan?
I think the reason why he took Andre Berto, Eric, is because Andre knew how to keep his mouth shut.
I mean, really, though? I mean, really? I mean, I think that's kind of where I come from on it. I mean, because that's the thing, man. People could say, well, he's not quiet about it. He's like, what do you need to be quiet for? You know, you're talking, everybody in the world knows you're talking to him.
I mean, look at Canelo and Triple G. You don't hear either one of these guys in the media talking about negotiations.
Well, they're not big talkers either. But you're talking to a guy with a history of a guy who just consistently runs his mouth. Look at Bronner. Look at Khan. You know, these are just big, braggadocious guys, you know?
I think Floyd
had no intentions on fighting Khan.
Okay, what about Pacquiao?
Pacquiao, I don't think, had any intentions on fighting Khan. Pacquiao was going to fight Khan if the Floyd fight went through. And then Floyd went to Khan and said, if the Pacquiao fight falls through, I want to fight you. So Khan was that big bargaining chip, but now he's lost all power. Now he's got nobody left because neither one of those guys want to fight him.
No.
You know?
Look, I want to see this Brook Khan fight. I want it to happen. But I'm tired of negotiations being blown up here. Let's get this on paper. Fill up Wembley with 90,000 people, and let's see who the best UK fighter is in that division. Period.
Yeah, and I think it's a good fight. I think a fight needs to happen. And if Amir Khan wins this, I think Amir Khan's got a brand new start. But if Amir Khan loses, and you know, where does Kell Brook go from here if he beats Amir Khan? Because he's not in a hurry to get over here to the U.S. and fight, or fight anybody with any substance.
Well, I mean,
he
should be happy about fighting in the U.S. because he came to the U.S. and they gave him the decision over Porter. So, you know, he was treated very good over here.
Absolutely.
So, you know, I don't know what happens with these two. But this fight has to happen, and then we can discuss what happens to them after it's over with.
Yeah, but first it's got to happen first. And let me tell you what, if this fight falls through, Amir Khan is pretty much done. I don't know who he fights or who he does, you know, to get back. I mean, you know, he's going to have to fight his way back up to the top, basically. I mean, that's basically what he's going to have to do because all his options are gone.
Yeah.
You know, he didn't want to fight Kell Brook because he said Kell Brook wasn't a big enough name. Now all of a sudden he's uneasy. He wants to fight him,
honestly, Eric, you may not agree with this, but I do think Amir Khan has talked his way out of a couple of these fights. I don't know whether Mayweather and Pacquiao were using him as bargaining chips.
Yeah.
But if you have a possibility at a big fight, you do have to keep it quiet. You don't go on Twitter and Instagram and constantly talk about what's going on in negotiations.
Yeah, that's the other thing, too, is that I think that's what kind of doomed Bronner, to be honest with you, is, you know, you go on there, you talk about negotiations, you talk about, you know, and then you start making remarks about it and stuff, and it's like, dude, just shut up. I don't think Bronner was going to get the fight against Pacquiao anyway. I thought he was a real long shot.
Yeah.
But Amir Khan was right there. I don't think he was realistically for Floyd's last fight for, you know, Floyd was going to take. He said it beforehand. He said Andre Berto or who was the other one? Kareem Mayfield. Those were the two fighters. And Floyd could care less which one of them it was, and he went ahead and fought him anyway.
You know,
and they put it on paper, you and it tanked. And it's like, dude, I mean.
Unfortunately, it didn't tank bad enough because, unfortunately, Triple G owns the tank job of the year as far as pay-per-view, and that's kind of undeserved because, he's not the kind of fighter that deserves the tank job, but that's what he got in 2015.
Well, I mean, I think it was, they tried to move him quick, they tried to move him quick into the pay-per-view where he's not really well-known yet. He's not really well-established, especially, again, with boxing fans and everything like that, he is, but, you got to be household before you start talking about, pay-per-views like that, man.
And unfortunately, he's going to get one more tune-up because the part of the negotiations is they're both going to have one more fight. And then they're going to fight in September. So, we pretty much know that Canelo is going to fight Rosado. Oh, so it'll be. And it looks like for Triple G, it looks like it'll be Tiriano Johnson.
That's the name I'm hearing too. Now rumor has it, that Triple G's management has apparently offered Billy Joe Saunders a truckload of money for a unification fight. Frank Warren, who is Saunders' promoter, has stated that he was offered quite a bit, and they are definitely considering that fight. Saunders is on vacation, and they'll make that decision soon. But I'm hearing it was quite a bit. Saunders had originally said he would fight Triple G for $6 million. He's not going to get $6 million for that fight, realistically. But he's not going to get close to $6 million for any other fight either.
And look, I give Billy Joe Saunders credit for being as honest as he was. After he won the title against Andy Lee, he said, look, I'm willing to fight anybody, but I'm not realistic or really ready for Triple G. It'll be a year and a half before I'm ready for a guy like that. Because he openly said, I'm going to get killed if fight happens now.
Yeah. And I don't know, man. I mean, Saunders is a slick boxer, man. He's a really good fighter, man. So who knows? But I'd like to see the fight. That's for sure.
I would love to see I want to see Triple G get another belt around his waist. Why not? But I guess if we don't get that, I guess we get Tiriano Johnson, and that'll be a decent fight, but it'll be victim number 22 in a row, man. That's all I can say.
Yeah, I think so, too.
Yeah.
All right, so I got this news straight out of Compton here. The president is out of jail. The president,
yeah.
Ike Abiyabuchi, not Barack Obama, silly. Ike Abiyabuchi is out of jail. He's 43 years old, and he's ready for a fight here. He's 20-0 with 15 knockouts, no losses. Sounds good. Let's put him in. Problem, he's been out of the ring for 17 years. He's been locked up for 17 long. Been doing a stretch. He's gotten a lot of trouble. He had a lot of trouble prior to doing that long stretch, man. I mean, he was in trouble with, sexual assault, robbery, anything you could possibly think of, it's on his record, all right? But he's out. He wants to make a comeback. And rumor has it he's not messing around either, man. He wants to fight a top 15 fighter, no tune-ups. Man, I think that's a big mistake for him, man.
Well, I totally agree with you, but rumor has it, and here we go again, he's going to be on the Pacquiao Bradley undercard.
Yeah, that'll be interesting, man. That actually, I want to see him fight. I don't want to see him fight on pay per view. You know what I'm saying? I want to see him fight that bad. Abiyabuchi, for those of you who don't know who he is,
I thought he had a bright future.
Man,
he
was the hottest heavyweight prospect back in the day before he was locked up. He was like the only thing, the only person I could really compare him to is Tony Ayala. You remember Tony Ayala back before he got locked up?
Of course I remember Tony Ayala.
I thought Ayala would have beat Hagler. I thought Ayala would have beat Hagler at 160. Ayala was a man back then, man.
Yes, he was. But, the Italian stallion is doing quite well for himself.
That's right. Abiyabuchi, man, was a killer back in the day. He was the hottest guy out, and he was, he, you know, I don't know if he would have been the next heavyweight champion, but man, I mean, that guy was just fierce.
Well, you know, they were trying to line him up with Tyson.
Absolutely.
Back in the day.
Absolutely. The guy's a killer, man. No question about it. I don't know if they had a boxing program in jail or if it was like penitentiary in there or what. You remember the movie Penitentiary where they was fighting in jail and stuff like that?
Well, I can't remember the guy's name, so I shouldn't even bring this up. But I remember back in the day on NBC Sports World, remember when they had that? They used to stage fights in Rahway Prison because there was a fighter that was in prison there.
I remember that. You know what? And I can't remember. Who was that guy? And he got knocked out.
Who was that dude?
He was in Rahway. He had just came out of Rahway.
I know exactly
who you're talking about.
And NBC put him on TV several times while he was in prison. But I can't remember the dude's name because they made a point of telling everybody, well, hey, they got a boxing program and he stayed in shape and, you know.
Yeah.
But I can't even remember the dude. I remember he got knocked out.
I remember he got knocked out. That's all I remember about.
Yeah, I know who you're talking about. He did finally get knocked out. I forget who, but oh god, somebody let us know who that was. But I remember that as clear as a bell. It was back in the late 70s. It was back in the 80s, wasn't it? 80s.
It had to be the 80s.
80s, late 80s, early 90s, I think. But I can remember that as clear as bell, you know. But I can't remember the dude's name.
So what do you give Abeba Butcher's chances coming back? I mean, as far as, is he going to be any good or is he done?
Unfortunately, no, I don't think he'll be any good because we don't know what kind of shape he's in.
I mean, I'm sure he's in good shape. I mean, he just came out of prison. He was in good shape when he walked in. I'm sure he's in good shape now. I mean, you know, I'm sure he does a lot of push-ups and stuff like that. And
and of course, I don't know what country he was in prison for, but over here, if you're in maximum security prison, you're in your cell 23 hours a day. You only get one hour a day for, exercise. So,
right. And I'm sure, you know, he was exercising in a cell and doing push-ups and stuff. I mean, I watch the prison shows on History Channel and stuff. He probably kept in pretty good shape, you know.
And of course, we have the lockup show on MSNBC every weekend, so there you go.
But I tell you what, I mean, after 17 years after being out of the ring, I don't know what makes you think you can come back and just pick up where you left off. You know
what
I'm saying?
I would expect Top Rank to do something like this.
Right. I mean, beating up ex-cons and then, you know, coming out and beating up professional fighters, two different things.
No, here's my idea for that. And this is something Bob Arum would do. Ike Abebuche against Luis Ortiz.
Or Amir Mansour, you know.
Amir Mansour is on the PBC side.
That's right.
Yeah. But I could see Ortiz being the one to take out Abuchi, and that's exactly what would happen, unfortunately.
Yeah, I don't know who he's going to fight, you know, but you better get a soft touch, man, and try to get him back in, man, because he's going to get killed.
Looking at the boxing landscape and looking who he's going with, in my opinion, it's going to be Luis Ortiz.
I don't know, man. We'll see. We'll see what happens. But it's supposed to be on the Pacquiao undercard in April 9th. So
April 9th. Yep.
Hey, you got 4 months to get in fighting shape, son.
Yeah.
You know, we know you can knock out some prison guards, but let's, you know, hey, you got to fight guys that are going to hit back now and know how to do it. So.
Yeah.
All right. Keith Thurman and Sean Porter will fight at the MGM Grand. It's rumored to happen on March 5th, and it will be on CBS.
Okay.
And I don't know that the fight's been signed yet, but that's just a rumor that it's happening March 5th. That seems to be everybody knew this fight was going to happen. It was just a question of, you know, when it was going to happen, you know. And they knew, I think they were deciding what channels to put it on, everything like that, you know.
Yeah.
So I think that was the issue there. James DeGale has got to face Jose Uzcategui by February 26th. Now, I don't know. I saw the headline for it in So he's got to face Jose. He's got to, and I know that's not DeGale's first choice, obviously. DeGale's looking for some big money fights, but
that's his mandatory, though, I think.
Yeah, it is his mandatory, absolutely.
Yeah.
So February 26th, we'll look forward to that.
Okay.
And then, and finally, some sad news from the boxing world, man. Howard Davis Jr. over the break on December 30th passed away.
Actually, it was New Year's Eve.
Was it? I thought it was the Thursday or the
No, it was Thursday, December 31st, because his wife, who was with him, said that's how she spent her New Year's Eve. Saying goodbye.
Sad, man. So, yeah, so December 31st, my apologies, he was 59 years old, lost his battle with stage 4 lung cancer. Howard Davis, man, was a lightweight gold medalist in the 76 Olympics and was also voted most outstanding boxer in those games. Some of the people on his team, of course, Leon and Michael Spinks, the Spinks brothers.
Sugar Ray Leonard.
Teofilo Stevenson, who boxes for Cuba, obviously, was also in the Olympics.
Yes.
And Davis got the most outstanding boxer, you know, just an all-around guy, man.
But Howard never won a boxing world title.
No, yeah. He sure didn't. He fought for the title 4 times, came up short in all of them,
yeah.
Which was unfortunate. He was such a good amateur boxer, but it never really translated into pros. Not that he wasn't a good pro boxer. I mean, he had 30 wins or something like
he
that?
He was 36-6-1, I believe.
Yeah, I mean, that's not a bad record. I mean, you know, you give me that record, you know, I'm bragging about it for years.
Yeah.
You know, after he retired, he works for American Top Team. He actually worked for American Top Team and was their boxing coach there for the MMA fighters and everything like that.
Yeah, and he was the main trainer for Chuck Liddell.
Right. He was the main striking coach for Chuck Liddell. And I know you guys have heard of him before. So,
yeah,
pretty first striker back in his day for the UFC. So, man, it's unfortunate, man. I was really shocked, really sad when I heard this news, man. It wasn't that long ago that we actually reported that he had just been diagnosed with it.
Actually, he was diagnosed in February and died in December.
Yeah.
Matter of fact, on New Year's Eve, we had two significant people die, Howard Davis in boxing, and, of course, in the entertainment world, Natalie Cole.
Yeah. The Trapper John guy from MASH also died. Yeah, he
was
82 or something like that.
Oh,
yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Mm-hmm. But, yeah, man, and Natalie Cole, I heard that too. She was a 65. She was young,
yeah,
right?
Yeah, she had congestive heart failure because she underwent a kidney transplant back in 2009 and apparently had complications from that, and it caused congestive heart failure, and that's what happened with that.
That sucks.
Yeah.
Yeah, that blows. But, yeah, man, I was, like I said, man, if February is when we reported that February, I guess, or I don't know.
That's when it was diagnosed, so I'm assuming that's when it was reported.
And like I said, man, it didn't seem like that long ago when we reported it, and I heard it was stage 4, so I knew it was serious. Stage 4 is like the worst, but, you know, he said, you know, the ironic thing is he had lung cancer and he never drank, smoked, anything like that. They said he had no bad habits, nothing, man.
No, and the medical community is kind of stunned, in the area where he lives, is because they're like, how in the world did he get this, you know?
Yeah.
It's kind of a mystery. I know you can contract cancer in many different forms, but considering he didn't smoke or drink or do any of that, the medical community was kind of stunned. Okay, this is one disease. He might have had cancer, but this is the form of cancer that he shouldn't have gotten because he never did anything to do harm to his lungs.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, just crazy, man. He was the one, and Howard Davis Jr. was the one that stopped Aaron Pryor from going to the Olympics. He beat Aaron Pryor in the trials. So
that's correct.
Aaron Pryor was supposed to go. We all thought he was going to go to the Olympics anyway. And Howard Davis is the one that put a stop to that. So
that's right.
Insane.
And, of course, Sugar Ray Leonard and Davis were friends from then on.
Yeah.
You know.
Yeah. Just crazy, man. Just from February to now, it's like, man, that's just quick.
Yep.
It's a shame, man. So if you're out there, get checked out, man. Get checked out. Don't let it go.
Yep, you don't want that final 10 count.
Yeah, ain't no lie. Nobody wants that final 10 count, boy.
Yeah, before a big fight, if they gotta ring the bell 10 times, that's not good, man.
Yeah, you ain't gonna know about it anyway, so don't worry about it. You go get checked out. You know.
I guarantee you, on January 16th, if the PBC's got any brains,
they'll do that. They will, absolutely.
Yeah.
Absolutely. Well, that'll do it for this edition of Ringside Reporter. As always, you can catch Robert on Twitter at Ringside Robert, or you can call Ringside Robbie's Corner at 773-572-7781 and listen to all the podcasts and history lessons. And I'm at Ringside 73, and we will see you next week.
Thanks for listening to the Ringside Reporter podcast. Check us out on the web at www.ringsidereporter.com, on Twitter at Ringside73, and like us on Facebook at facebook.com/Ringside73. Subscribe to us on iTunes.